As I was thinking last week about our readings for today, the first Sunday in Lent, my thoughts kept returning to a period in my life about 15 years ago, I think, when I would make frequent trips to my hometown to check on my parents' well-being, a routine not unfamiliar to some of you, I suspect. And I remember how at the end of these visits, my mother would send me off, often with a cassette tape to listen to on the drive home. And on the tape would invariably be a recent sermon by a preacher named Richard Groves, whom she especially liked. Dr. Groves' sermons were broadcast on the radio from a nearby town, and my mother liked them so much that she devised an elaborate system of recording from a radio onto a tape recorder while she tootled off to church. I still have several of the tapes, including a few from a somewhat disjointed series on the seasons of the church year. One of the main assumptions of this series was that each of us is drawn to the Christian faith by a fundamental issue or question. Questions about the meaning of life, the existence of God, sin and guilt, or life after this life. Another assumption was that because of our deep concern about certain of these issues, we tend to be drawn to the seasons in which the issues themselves are drawn into clearest focus. And so it was suggested that we might refer to ourselves as Advent people or Easter people or Pentecost people and so on. Of course, we are, each of us, all of these people at one time or another, but some of us perhaps think of ourselves as being more one kind than the others. I used to think of myself as a Christmas person, and by that I don't mean getting caught up in the commercial trappings of the season or the sentimentality and the nostalgia that surrounds them. I mean, like many Anglicans, I'm drawn to what is sometimes known as incarnational theology, the notion that because God came to be with us in Jesus, nothing in this world, nothing in this life, is outside the purview of God's concern, and that in Jesus we see not only who God calls us to be, but also who God is. But I've come to realize that the mystery of the incarnation encompasses all of the seasons and the issues they bring into focus, just as it encompasses every aspect of our lives and our relationships to God, to the world, and to one another. With this in mind, I want to invite you to think with me for a few minutes about what it might mean for us to be Lenten people in light of the incarnation of God in Christ. According to Dr. Groves, the question Lent asks is this: what does it mean to follow Jesus in the world in which we live, given the vast differences between the values that we learn from him and the values that we have learned from our culture? And he suggests that the 40 days of Lent are a time to revisit our original decision to follow Jesus, to revisit the decision and to count the cost, and to determine whether we're still willing to pay it. Now, this is heavy stuff, but it is the stuff to which Lenten people might especially be drawn. Today we hear two stories, one from from Genesis and one from Matthew, stories about human decisions and human choices. The two stories have dramatically different endings, but both are part of our story. Both focus on being faithful to who we are called to be. In the first story, our first parents are placed in a garden to till and keep it. They're told that they may eat anything in the garden their hearts desire, anything that is except the fruit of one particular tree. But that was the tree they desired the most. It was good for food. It was delightful to look at. And it would make one wise. What rational, logical reason could God have for making this one tree off limits? And so, of course, they ate. And their eyes were opened to their naked humanity, and they were ashamed, and they lost the garden. In the second story, immediately after his baptism, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We remember how when he had come up from the water of baptism, he had heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Well, now he was hearing another voice. He was hearing a voice say, "Since you are God's son, take care of yourself and make some bread so you won't go hungry out here. Since you are God's son, show that God is with you by jumping from the top of the temple and letting the angels catch you before you hit the ground. And look around. Look at what I will give you, all of it, if you worship me instead of God." Why these temptations, we wonder? What was the Spirit up to? The Gospel tells us that before Jesus could be the true Messiah, Jesus had to be tested. He had to discover what kind of Messiah he would be, which first meant discovering what kind of Messiah he would not be. And so we are told Jesus affirmed his trust in God by first saying no to those things that would draw him away from God and away from his true identity. Three times Jesus was tempted, and three times he said no. Three times Jesus looked into the abyss, and just before he fell, he grasped the line that linked him to his humanity and his trust in God. Three times Jesus thought about playing God, but before he changed sides, he reached back to the Hebrew Scriptures and the experiences of the children of Israel in the wilderness. So where does this take us on our Lenten journey? Despite its familiarity, the story of Jesus testing in the wilderness may not seem to have much relevance to our experience. The setting and the temptations may seem awfully remote from the demons that we struggle with every day. Debating scripture with the devil, turning stones into bread, and leaping from cliffs. What about the temptations faced by recovering alcoholics, floundering business owners, teenagers longing for acceptance by their peers? Where, we ask, is the connection? Where is the common denominator? Where have we, like Jesus in the wilderness or the man and woman in the garden, been tempted to presume ourselves to be more than human and God to be less than God? Yet these are the very questions we are invited to ask along the way, and especially in Lent, when we focus on detaching ourselves from the ways of thinking and speaking and acting, from the myriad compromises we have made with the ways of the world that draw us from the love of God, that harm us and harm others around us, and that prevent us from becoming who we have been created to be. But saying no to sin is only part of the answer. As with Jesus in the wilderness, so also in our baptismal liturgy, our renunciation of the evil powers of this world must be followed by a yes, a resounding yes to the God who created us and to God's purpose for our lives. The gospel tells us that Jesus survived the desert and began his ministry in Galilee, where he was tested again and again and again. And by staying human, by refusing to be like God or to be God, by serving, by suffering, by dying, and being raised by God to life again, he showed us what God is like and the way to discover God's likeness in ourselves. As with Jesus, our testing never ceases. And yet, because of Jesus, we know God's never-ending grace and forgiveness. Our problem all too often is that most of us know how to make ourselves feel bad, especially during this penitential season. Some of us are very good at it in any season. What we are not good about, what we are not very capable at doing, is changing. Changing ourselves, changing our culture, changing our world. We tend to get stuck on introspection and self-examination for their own sake. But that is not what the gospel is about. The gospel is fundamentally about transformation in our hearts, in our relationships, and in the world around us. Henry Nouwen wrote that Lent is the time during which we not only prepare ourselves to celebrate the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also the death and resurrection that constantly takes place within us. Life, he says, is a continuing process of the death of the old and the familiar, and being reborn again into a new hope, a new trust, and a new love. And so let us be Lenten people, at least for a season. Let us trust in the Spirit to lead us on our journey, our lifelong journey, through the wildernesses and temptations of our lives into the renewal of our faith and the promises made at our baptism. And in saying no to all that stands between us and God, let us say yes to God's saving grace at work in the world and embrace the gift of our humanity in the name of God's Son, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin.